I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the Untitled Reese Waters program. We're going to keep going with that because I like the sound of Untitled Reese Waters program on 106.7 The Fan. You could also catch me on Get Up DC every morning, 6 a.m., as well as the District of Champions podcast. We are brought to you today by Russell Wilson's Wig. And your mama always told you, back in the day, that the cover-up was worse than the crime. I'm here with my man, Sean. Sean, I know you've heard that before. The cover-up is worse than the crime. Have you ever actually believed, though, that the cover-up is worse than the crime? I've never believed that. Because I'm like, if it wasn't for the crime, I wouldn't be in trouble in the first place. Okay? You ain't just out here getting mad at me for covering stuff up you didn't care about me doing in the first place. Okay, it don't say no cover-ups. It says no crimes. But here we are. I'm a grown man. And the older I get, the more I realize the cover-up really is worse than the crime. You know why? Because we all commit crimes. We all, not literally. I mean, some of y'all commit crimes out here. And by the way, if you are committing crimes and you're listening to Sports Talk Radio, more power to you. You are better at multitasking than 99% of America and the world. I don't mean we all commit crimes. I just mean we all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But the worst kind of person are the people that don't admit to making mistakes, the people that don't show any kind of contrition, the people who seem to pretend to be above making mistakes, even though you just saw them make a mistake. And in some respects, you've been friends, you had a relationship for a long time. They've made, like, lots of mistakes, but they still act like their stuff don't stink. Now, here we are with the Houston Astros. Now, I know that a lot of people were very split and conflicted when the news came out about the massive sign-stealing scandal. Some people thought it was a horrific violation of the culture and the rules of Major League Baseball. And other people thought, you know, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. You know, people have been trying to steal signs since forever. But many of those people have been brought over to the first camp just on the basis of your attitude. Look, ain't you showing a level of contrition and admonishing yourself for what you've done does not lessen the championship. What might lessen the championship is angering the entirety of the sports world to the point where you might put Rob Manfred in a position where he might actually have to do something. That, I mean, that's how bad it was today. So today was the day that they decided to say something. They sent out Alex Bregman and Jose Altuve first to give their thoughts on the sign-stealing scandal.
I am really sorry about the choices that were made by my team, by the organization, and by me. I've learned from this, and I hope to regain the trust of baseball fans. I would also like to thank the Astros fans for all of their support. We as a team are totally focused on moving forward to the 2020 season. Thank you.
You know, my favorite thing is when people say, I've learned from this. What did you learn? What did you learn? Because you knew it was against the rules in the first place. Look, I've learned from this is what I used to tell people in junior high school when I did something to get suspended. And I get caught and brought into the office. You know, I've learned from this. You know, you're not supposed to flush things out of the science lab. And, you know, I thought it was a bad idea, but now I know it's a bad idea. Therefore, I have learned from this. Jose Altuve wasn't much better.
I also will be brief. We had a great team meeting last night, and I want to say that the whole Astros organization and the team feel bad about what happened in 2017. We especially feel remorse for the impact in our fans and the game of baseball, and our team is determined.
That was Jose Altuve being brief, because, you know, I know we got all you guys to come out just to get this particular audio, but I don't want to keep you. You know, I know you don't have any questions or anything like that, so I don't want to keep you. Don't they sound like kids? You ever see kids when you know they did something wrong and they feel like they could talk their way out of it? I don't know if you ever seen a little toddler and you know she stole the candy. And you're like, hey, Janae, why you steal the candy? No, that wasn't. No, so what happened was I went to the thing, and then they said, that's what that sound like. That sound like a little toddler, Janae, who stole the candy, trying to explain her way out of it with her four-year-old brain to a grown adult. We adults, dog. We all adults. You think we just going to accept this level of explanation from the Houston Astros? Then the owner actually came out and managed to be the story despite the performance that his players had already given, which, by the way, would not have made the playoffs. Let's go to Jim Crane.
Our GM and manager were not only suspended for a year, we went above and beyond and fired them. MLB also acknowledged that the players should not be punished for the failure of our leadership. The leaders enabled, condoned, and did not stop those actions that happened. I also agree that our players should not be punished for these actions. These are a great group of guys who did not receive proper guidance from their leaders. We cannot change the actions of the past, but we are fully committed and moving forward in the right way. I believe a big step in moving forward is with our new GM and manager. We have two men of great character leading our baseball operation. James Click and Dusty Baker will help our players and our entire organization deliver a competitive team on the field and continue our commitment to Houston and make them proud off the field. I'm very optimistic about this season. We have a great ball club, and I look forward to talking to you all about the future. Finally, I would like to personally thank all of our fans, sponsors, and the community of Houston for their loyalty and support.
Now, I'll get into bringing Dusty Baker and Jim Click into it in just a moment, but I love the just the straight up gall to say it wasn't the player's fault, it was leadership. Now, not the leader, but like middle management. You know what I mean? Because I ain't going nowhere. So really what you have is a failure of leadership, just not from the top. It was middle leadership in between. So if leadership, if you have like a scale from 1 to 10, it was somewhere in the 5-6 range was the failure. Nothing below that, nothing above it. You feel me? How you expect me to swallow that, player? How you expect me to swallow that? It's the lead. Not me, though. You know, not me, though. You know, something going on. I don't know what's going on with that radio show. You know what it is? It's the voice. Not me. Just, you know, sometimes they have commercials on. You know, like, I'm like, how you gonna make excuses for the leadership, and you are the leader, Jim Crane? He actually managed to get worse after that, but we have reached a point in time. You know, time flies when you're having fun, and I just love to point out when people screwed up. This is like a very enjoyable time for me, so I'm going to enjoy this show quite a bit. I want to hear from you. Give me a call, 800-636-1067. We'll be back. Reese Waters on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Stronger than ever. Welcome to the Untitled Reese Waters program on 106.7 The Fan. As I mentioned, we are sponsored by Russell Wilson's wig. You know, you shake your head, Sean, but to me, that is the difference in the two Washingtons, because I would have been bullied out of that. I would have been bullied out of walking around looking like a minstrel show at a very young age. There's no way I would have made it through 2 years of Walker Mill Middle School looking like a black Richie Rich. They just wouldn't have allowed it. They would have joined me off the bus. They would have joined me out of homeroom. And that's how you learn. They don't have that in Washington State. And that's the difference between Washington State and Washington, D.C. And we should feel proud. We've been talking about the Astros. So much more to get into. So many different angles on this particular story. I want to hear from you. Reach out to me, 800-636-1067. I'm going to start with my man Brandon in Annandale. Brandon, what's good?
Hey, what's going on, Reese?
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, so on my lunch break at work today, I just out of curiosity, I tuned into some Houston sports radio on the radio.com app because I wanted to hear what they were saying, their perspective on stuff. And just the delusion, the deflecting, and they were they seemed surprised that we're – and it's almost scary and comical at the same time how just out of touch they are with how big of a deal people see this as. And I'm more mad now than I was when the news of the scandal first broke, just because of the arrogance they're displaying. And 4th of July weekend, the 4th falls on a Saturday this year. And Houston comes on the 3rd, the 2nd, the 3rd, the 4th, and the 5th. So one of those games, I'm going to be in that stadium booing the hell out of them, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Brandon. I appreciate that. Hey, man, it's nothing more American than booing somebody for cheating. That's what I say. It's one of the things we do best. And he feels like a lot of people feel, including my man Grant Paulson, who's coming in next segment, 7 o'clock, he's in that camp of folks that weren't initially as upset, but given how they've handled it, it's changed their perspective on the whole thing. Personally, I was ready to burn it down from the beginning just because I'm an anarchist and I just like to see things burn. I just like to cast shade and I like to point fingers. That's just like what I do in my private time. I do appreciate that we won. And we at least can speak from a perspective of strength, because I can understand the frustrations of, say, Dodgers or Yankees fans that were seemingly directly affected, potentially directly affected, unless you're Jim Crane, in which case he can't decide whether or not they were directly affected. That's actually something that came out today when he was asked that specifically.
You know, our opinion is, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, he later was asked, wait, I'm sorry, did you just say it didn't impact the game? And he sang a different tune. Do we have that one also? Okay, we don't have that one.
Issued an apology.
It sounded just as sorry as I made it sound. You know what? Reenactment. I'm sorry, did you say it didn't impact the game? Oh, did I say that? Is that what I said? Oh, okay. My bad. Yeah. I know we've all been there before, but it's just crazy to see a Major League Baseball owner acting like we just got caught with an earring in a passenger seat. Like, he is responding exactly how regular dudes respond when they get – oh, actually, not even regular dudes, because he's not being a stand-up guy, and a lot of us are stand-up guys. He's acting like a teenager getting caught like sneaking in the window late. But as I mentioned, at least we can speak from a position of strength because we did win, so we can be semi-objective about this. And there was a report that actually came out that said the Nationals were tipped off about the Astros cheating by the Dodgers and actually by Alex Cora. This is a report that came out from the Washington Post. It says the whole industry knows they've been cheating for about 3 or 4 years. That came from an anonymous executive from a team that faced Houston in the playoffs and told the Washington Post that everybody knew it. Nats second baseman Brian Dozier also played a role in highlighting everything. He was a member of the Dodgers in 2017. Several members of the Dodgers reached out to Dozier ahead of the 2019 World Series to warn him about Houston's sign stealing. And Alex Cora himself, the man who lost his job as the Red Sox manager, who was the Astros bench coach in 2017. Nats owner Dave Martinez reached out to Cora ahead of the World Series, and they both spoke about what to expect. Now, that's pretty crazy. The man who used to be there dropping a dime on his ex-team. I appreciate him for doing us a solid. It's just amazing to think that that was just another thing that we had floating around in our heads as our players play the biggest game of their lives. I appreciate you guys' calls. We got one more, Chris from Springfield. Chris, what's good?
Hey, what's up, Reese?
What's going on, Chris?
Hey, you know, I really think the Astros players got off light. I mean, A, they didn't get – they're taking no accountability. The apology was basically, I'm sorry if you think I cheated, not I'm sorry I cheated. No suspensions. You know, I would have suspended them all 80 games because this is worse than steroids, in my opinion. And B, you know, they're all grown adults. And to say that, oh, the manager needed to tell me, well, maybe tomorrow I'll sit on Facebook at work and then say, well, no one told me that was an appropriate work. You know, common sense tells you. And when A.J. Hinch smashed the monitors, did they think that he liked the sign stealing? I mean,
yeah.
I just don't get the lack of accountability. And Manfred is just pretty much lied because he said, oh, this was only 17. And we know now that that's not true. And I don't even want to go on a tangent about all the changes he's making. But, I mean, just the lies that MLB is telling, I mean, it's just sweep it under the rug. And it's a black eye for the sport that they're trying to gain popularity for. I don't understand it.
You know what? You've given me a lot to respond to. Certainly Major League Baseball could not wish this away fast enough, and I think that had something to do with why they didn't come down necessarily on the players and do a punishment that could have been lingering. I've heard people say, oh, well, if you punish, there's too many players involved, you punish them, they wouldn't be able to field the team. I'm like, and? Like, that's our problem? I got no problem if they go in 0-162 and lose the draft pick that they would have gotten from going 0-162. That is not our concern.
You know what else I would have done is made them stay, you know, progressively less each year, but for 3 to 4 years, 20%, 15%, 10% under the competitive luxury tax. And that would have hurt them even more. So you're not signing these top star players and figure out how to re-sign these guys when they're free agents. You know, I think that would have really crippled them.
I agree 100%, Chris. You know what? We're going to come back. When we come back, he raised another interesting point. He said he thought it was worse than gambling. Is it worse than gambling? Is it worse than maybe PEDs or some of the other scandals we've seen, Spygate, Deflategate? I want to hear from you, 800-636-1067. My man Grant Paulson coming in next. All right, welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. I am Reese Waters. Thank you guys for coming in and joining me. You guys have been very spicy in your thoughts so far. I appreciate that. The number, once again, if you want to call in, 800-636-1067. And we just had a call from Springfield that got me to thinking about the idea of rating sign stealing in the context of other forms of cheating. Is it worse than gambling? Well, clearly, according to Major League Baseball, it's worse than gambling because you see how they came down on Pete Rose, seemingly denying even the possibility of ever considering his reemergence into Major League Baseball. But all you get for a massive sign-stealing scandal, which evidently multiple teams were talking about over the landscape of Major League Baseball, is a year suspension, some lost draft picks, and no punishment at all for the actual players who were involved, who were the main beneficiaries of that when it comes to, when it really comes down to it, when it comes to money and contracts and security and all that kind of stuff. I saw a lawsuit was filed against the Astros from a player who feels like he was wronged and his career was ended prematurely. I can only imagine, who knows about the truth of that. I mean, we're all speculating when it comes to exactly how much this scheme affected the outcome of games and the outcome of careers. But can you imagine just feeling like that? Yeah, can you imagine just feeling like that? You know, I can only imagine. Clearly, Major League Baseball thinks that this is nowhere near as bad as gambling. But the interesting thing about that is that as far as Pete Rose is concerned, what he's gone on the record of admitting is that he bet in the clubhouse for his own team. Now, if that is indeed the case, and he never bet against his own team, then he never upset the competitive balance of the games themselves. Sign stealing does that. When you talk about the integrity of the game, sign stealing is more disruptive to the integrity of the game than what specifically Pete Rose has been accused of doing. Now, gambling in general absolutely can be catastrophic to the integrity of the game, but I'm talking about the specifics of what he admitted and what he has been accused of. But clearly, Major League Baseball has handled them completely different. When it comes to PEDs, I don't feel like Major League Baseball even knows how they feel themselves when it comes to PEDs. They did the opposite. They did a bizarro sign stealing when it comes to PEDs. Come down hard on the players when it was something that was permitted for years and do nothing for the people who permitted it. The complete opposite of how they're handling this one. And clearly, well, I won't say clearly, PEDs is something you feel like would affect the integrity of the game, but in a similar way to something like sign stealing. It gives an advantage to an individual player over another. But somehow, when it comes to sign stealing, it's all the executives. When it comes to PEDs, it's all the players. Makes sense, right? That makes sense. How about Spygate or Deflategate? Definitely has some similarities with Spygate when it comes to using video and technology to give yourself an advantage over another team. It definitely has some similarities as far as that's concerned. And when it comes to the lingering aspect of this, I mean, Spygate stretched out over a long period of time. I mean, we're still talking about now. It's 2020. And it seems like this is the kind of thing which doesn't appear to be going away anytime soon. And it doesn't help that the most aggrieved parties are probably the two biggest fan bases that you have in Major League Baseball. Between the Yankees and the Dodgers, they're not going to be quiet. They are not going silent into that good night. And there are millions of them. So good luck with that. I want to hear from you. What is worse? 800-636-1067. My man, Grant Paulson, you can hear him right here on this station, 106.7 The Fan. I tried to tell him that teaming up with Danny Ruggier was a poor idea, but he didn't listen. He decided to do it anyway, and they have this award-winning program in the afternoons. What's going on, Grant?
Reese, how are you, buddy? Good to talk to you again. How you been?
I'm good. So, hey, you don't need much provocation, man. I'm going to let you sound off. How did you process all this news today?
It was an incredible day. First of all, I couldn't believe the Astros, who had weeks, maybe even months to prepare for this, didn't have a better plan, that they didn't get better advice with some of the answers to these questions, which pretty obviously were coming their way, starting with owner Jim Crane. I don't know about you, Reese, but for him to sit there and say at one point, we won the World Series, we'll leave it at that. When you won the World Series in a season in which you cheated, possibly because you cheated, even though you were really good, didn't sit right with me. And Alex Bregman speaking for about a minute without taking any questions before going to the clubhouse and then leaving almost immediately. Jose Altuve speaking for fewer seconds than that and leaving, while Dusty Baker, who wasn't even there when they were doing all these things, sat there the entire time waiting on questions that didn't come because he's got nothing to answer to. I thought it was poorly handled from the top down, and really I was surprised. They had a chance today to come out and show contrition and come off remorseful, and I didn't think they did that at all.
Now, let me ask you this. There's a bizarro world, and I've heard people allude to, where they come out and they show full contrition, they fall on the sword, and this magically goes away. Do you think there's actually credence to that, that we would have allowed this to go away had they shown full contrition?
I don't, Reese. I think this was probably here to stay regardless. And so I know that a lot of people will say, well, what could they have possibly said that won you over? What did you want to hear? And the answer is, to be fair, probably nothing. But that doesn't excuse what they did say. I mean, how about something other than for the owner to have said, I shouldn't be held accountable? I mean, that's a quote. Something other than for him to have said that cheating, which is what they did, he wouldn't use that word. He said they broke the rules. But he also said, and I couldn't believe this, that it didn't influence the game. Mm-hmm. That their ability to steal signs with technology and know what was coming didn't impact the outcome of these games. And he was called on that by Jeff Passan, among other reporters. And when he was asked about it, he basically said, well, I didn't say that, but then doubled down on the claim that there's no way to prove that the Astros wouldn't have won anyway. It's, you know, Danny and I were talking about this, and it's like saying, well, yeah, I got into the accident while I was drunk driving, but I would have gotten into the accident anyway. It was raining outside. That doesn't matter. You know, if you're drinking and you're driving, you get into an accident, you don't get to say that you might have gotten into the crash anyway. So the idea that they're really good at baseball doesn't mean they would have won a World Series. A lot of really good teams don't win the championship every year. You were cheating the year that you did. I don't know why we're acknowledging their World Series still, like it happened clean when it didn't. But to come out today and to say that he doesn't think that what they did, breaking the rules and cheating and stealing signs, impacted the games themselves, that makes no sense. Then why were you cheating in the first place? Then what are you apologizing for to begin with? I just don't understand it.
All right, you just said something I have to highlight, that you don't know why we're acknowledging their World Series. Have you joined my camp of wanting the title to be stripped? Just, I'm the kind of person who just likes to watch the world burn, so I'm encouraging.
You're in the Joker, bro,
at all times. Where do you come out on that?
So I've changed my mind on this completely. I was originally not on your team here. When we talked about this on the show initially when the story came out, and really I'd say even until probably a couple weeks ago, my philosophy was you can't go back and re-legislate now that they didn't win the World Series. And my reason is because the memories are there. You're not going to collect all the rings back. What are you going to do, take down all the banners and now it's pretend like it didn't happen? And you know, you're going to get Will Smith to show up with his Men in Black little meter and he's going to click the flash and we're all going to forget that it happened. So I thought it doesn't mean anything to take away the World Series. Where I've changed on this is you watch these guys today, players and the owner all the way up to the top of the organization, admit that they did something horrible and say that what they did was bad and talk about 2017 in shame. And now we're supposed to all just in the next sentence say that they were the best team in the sport and the World Series champions that year. It doesn't work for me. So while you get to keep your rings, and we can't go back and change the memories or pretend like the Dodgers won or anything like that, I do think you can take down any banners in their ballpark that say that they're the champions or anything that they profit from that claims that they won the title. I don't think they should be able to sell gear in their team store, you know, to make money off of that fact. I don't think it should be on their media guide on the cover that, you know, they won the title in 17. Those types of things are pretty easy to immediately implement. The other stuff is super complicated. Suspending the players, which I'd love to see done, it isn't going to happen. But I just believe, Reese, that we can almost unilaterally, starting tomorrow, begin walking back just some of the paraphernalia and the signage that claims that they are champions. And while that might mostly be symbolic, I think that in addition to in the record books, when you look up 2017 World Series, it's either blank or it has the Astros crossed out and says, you know, caught cheating. I think that that would do a lot and move the needle a whole bunch for people who want to see something done to make sure that the record and the history reflects that this team did something that in the eyes of a lot of people was the most scandalous decision made by a club since the 19-teens.
Well, if Will Smith could give me the clicker and make me forget about Gemini Man, that I would not be opposed to whatsoever. You know, I caught myself in a contradiction about this because in theory, I'm opposed to vacating titles. I mean, the Fab Five Michigan teams is like a primary example of that. And so I actually had to have a moment with myself where I'm like, well, wait, why am I so in favor of it here? And the best I can come up with is the fact that when it comes to vacating titles in the NCAA, I don't have much respect for the rules that are supposedly being violated that are causing titles to be vacated. But in this instance, I think it's a very legitimate rule which was violated that affected the competitive balance, and therefore I feel like it should be vacated. That's the best I can come up with why I could process those two things completely differently when it comes to the idea of vacating a championship.
So it's a good take, Reese. Look, I'm with you. I am anti-vacating titles, and I went hard with that when I was saying that I'm not going to vacate this one. I don't have an eloquent, well-worded, good way to describe why I feel the way I do now, and I was wrestling with this on the air today with Danny, to be honest with you. I just kept saying, I'm surprised I am as angry toward this team and have the animosity and the disdain for them right now that I do. It's a very fan-centric kind of fanatical reaction where I'm normally like to be measured and reserved, but I just think what they did, while I think other teams around the sport were doing watered-down versions of this, and there probably are more teams cheating with technology than we'd like to know or admit. We caught these guys, and they accomplished more over the last 3 years doing it than anybody else. They got to two World Series. They won one, and they were in three league championship series. Why do I feel differently this time? I honestly believe it's the lack of contrition and remorse, and I think it's because these guys have gotten off scot-free. You know, generally with the college teams, when they talk about doing this, they lost scholarships or they did their little investigations, and whether it's legit or not, they've done their self-reporting and they start to slap themselves on the wrist. Now, the Astros did none of that. The manager and the executive of the year at one point in time, Jeff Luhnow, got fired. Other than that, the players are all going to take the field on opening day like nothing happened. Now, we've got to sit there and watch Altuve, who still hasn't answered the question, where are you wearing a buzzer? And Bregman answer questions by saying they're looking forward to next year or referencing the report. I think for me, it's the anguish I've got that we're never really going to know what happened unless another whistleblower comes out in time. That's what annoys me so much, is I can't move on from this and just feel okay about it. I'm all about second chances. I'm the first guy to say Mike Vick did the time. He did the, after doing the crime, he's back in football, and I hope he has a hell of a second career. And it, a lot of people learn from his mistake and he becomes a model citizen in the community. Let him play football again. And people hate that kind of take, but I'm a soft guy. I'm giving people second and third chances. At least you show some contrition though. At least you served the time, literally or figuratively. They didn't. Nothing's happened to them. They got in trouble. Their bosses got fired. They went to the beach and spent their off season doing whatever they wanted to do. And they're back playing baseball again. And that is why I'd love to see in some way the players penalized. And I think if the World Series championship that they won is in question, that would be a legitimate way to do it, because we know they're not getting suspended. That's out of question now.
You know, Grant, I've tried to put myself in Rob Manfred's shoes just to try and ascertain why he wouldn't have come down harder on the team or specifically on the players, or why that title hasn't been vacated. And the best I could come up with is, A, he certainly wants this to go away as soon as possible. He doesn't want anything that could potentially linger, which, by the way, backfires when you don't come down harsh enough. I think Ray Rice and Roger Goodell would attest to that. But secondly, he has to have an idea that this was something that was not so specific to the Astros. We're coming out and punishing them out of proportion with anybody else that hasn't yet been caught, is something that when we look back on it historically would be a black mark against him.
100%. So I think the biggest thing is he wants it over with. Remember, he did nothing until you and I were outraged and people listening to you right now were livid. That's when he stepped in. Baseball for a couple of years industrially, the other teams, executives, players, they knew. People had contacted him reportedly and said the Astros are doing this. And when it was just tinfoil hat stuff, and it was people with their ham radios talking about it, Rob Manfred didn't care. It wasn't until we found out exactly what they'd done publicly and fans were angry that he did something. But I think the other two reasons, and there are two, right, to me that stick out here as to why he didn't suspend the players. Number one, I think it's really, really hard to do, starting with the guys that have moved on. You know, how do you know? I was talking to a player in the American League today who I have a good relationship with. And he said, you know, one of the guys on his team played for the Astros. He said, what if the guy on my team that we signed that used to play for Houston in 2017 played, say, five games where he was cheating with the Astros? But he referenced another guy, Jake Mariznick, let's say, just another name. And he's on another team. I think he's on the Mets now. Let's say he cheated in 57 games. I mean, do you have the same suspension for this one guy who's on this team and a different suspension for Mariznick, and that would affect the Mets and this other American League team differently? Or do you have the same suspension for both of those guys? How do you know how many times each guy cheated, how much it affected each guy's batting average? You know, should the players that were in 2017 Astros that are still there be suspended more games than the guys that have moved on, like Marwin Gonzalez of the Twins? So I think the legislation part is so tough that he basically just said, I'm not dealing with this, and he didn't have any suspension. The other thing really quickly, because I know you're probably short on time, is I believe that he wanted this to seem like it's the Astros' problem and nobody else's. To your point, like there are no other teams doing anything like this. I believe if you start suspending players 50 or 80 games, they don't wear that and just sit there quietly. They come out, whether it's Bregman or Altuve or somebody else, and they say, hypothetically, well, the Yankees are using technology as well. Ask so-and-so about, and you start getting these leaks of three, four, five teams. Remember, they floated the idea that they think it's at least eight teams around baseball doing something like this. So I think Manfred wanted us all to kind of zero in on the Astros, focus on them, and he thought the easiest way to move on without other teams, other players getting linked in, and this becoming a sport-wide issue, is to not actually start suspending players.
Grant, man, I appreciate you for coming over to our side. We can dance together down the stairs with makeup on our faces, Joker style. I would love it, man. And I appreciate you and Danny and all the good work you guys do all the time, man. Thanks.
Appreciate you, Reese. Get up, brother. Good talking to you.
All right, same here. That was Grant Paulson. You can catch him tomorrow afternoon on 106.7 The Fan right here. Keep it locked. Let your voice be heard. I want to hear from you. I saw we had a call from Tacoma, from Tacoma Park. Hey, call back, player, man. I know you ain't out here doing nothing else at this hour, at least nothing that you're supposed to be doing. Get back in front of that phone. It's 800-636-1067. Reese Waters on The Fan. Welcome back to Reese Waters on 106.7 The Fan. Oh, man, you just heard Grant Paulson lay it down when it comes to the Houston Astros. Came over to my side, man. Hey, we got a nice little squad over here. Wishing evil on people. I love it. It's a good way to be. All right, I promised that I would save a life in Tacoma today, and I thank you for calling back, Steph, and not making a liar out of me. How you doing, man? Hey, Steph, you there? Oh, hey, is this George from Centerville?
This is George from Centerville. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not from Tacoma. That's somebody else.
That's all good. That's all good. How you doing, George?
What's up, man? Hey, listen, I kind of disagree. You know, all the whining of everybody about what happened. Look, it happened. And you could say that four, five, six, seven other teams, you know, were cheating. And the fact is that Houston got caught and they won. Now, I'm a Nats fan, okay? But until the true baseball fans of Houston, of the Astros, that bought the hats and bought the jerseys and bought all that stuff that says we are the champions, if they're true baseball fans, they should be raising, holy heck, returning all of their paraphernalia, asking for all their money back, because for generations, okay, the kids, and grandchildren for generations, that will be a blemish on the Houston Astros fan base. And if they're true fans, they should denounce them right now. Let them keep their rings, because they already got the millions, and really, do they care? Let them keep their fancy, you know, $60,000 World Series rings, and let them keep the banners. But, you know, tomorrow and the next day and years from now and generations from now, when they say, yeah, you know, we want a, you know, a championship, somebody's going to be like, you cheated. It's in the books. Nobody cares about Bregman. Nobody cares about Altuve, whether he had buzzers or not. The fact is, they got caught outright, and it will haunt that organization forever. Forever. Unless the Houston Astros, if they're true fans, start coming out and taking that stuff back and said, I want my money back because we are not true champions. We cheated the system. And that's all I got to say.
All right. I appreciate that. Calling for some personal accountability for Astros fans. Oh, boy. We can wait a long time for that one. I would hope so. It was a good fan base when I was down there for the World Series. I'm just happy people like myself and George from Centerville can speak from a position of strength because we did, in fact, win. All right. I see you, Steph, from Tacoma. We got one more break. I'm coming straight to you and my man Randolph as well out of VA. Reese Waters, 106.7 The Fan. Hit me up, 800-636-1067. You guys have lots of thoughts. I ain't going to keep you waiting much longer. I'm going to go directly to my man, Steph, from Tacoma. Steph, what's good?
How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on, man. I thought we lost you for a second there, and I know being lost in Tacoma is not fun.
It's not. It's not. But, I just wanted to talk about the Astros' schedule. It may be a little conspiracy if the MLB knew about that. I guess just looking at their schedule, I guess they don't play the Dodgers and in L.A. At all, maybe next year. I'm not sure. I have to look at it again. And they don't go to New York until the second to last series of the season, September 21st. So any thoughts on that? I'm just looking at it like maybe they're thinking things will boil, you know, or not boil up, but kind of be a little calmer then. I don't know.
Interesting. But, well, look,
yeah,
they can hope. But, I mean, yeah. I think if they go to, you know, if they don't go to New York till 2021, I think they're going to be waiting for them at Yankee Stadium whenever they get there.
It would be better on April 1st than September 21st.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that. And, you know, it may not be as bad with the Dodgers because, you know, time may cause that one to cool a little bit, but I know they are hot in New York. And if they were going to L.A. this year, that would be bad.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a Yankee fan. I'll try to be there. It's a Monday, September 21st, but not a weekend series. But it looks like they're trying to shove that out end of the season. I don't know. Do you know when they make the schedules for the season?
I don't. We can look into that. Actually, we will do that in the next break. But that, I mean, that's a good
just
point.
Curious.
Now, now, Steph, do you think the title should be stripped?
I think it should be stripped.
Okay.
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah, they should have done it at the beginning, but the question is, will they do it now? But it should be.
Okay. I mean, I don't know if you could re-punish them. That would be like the ultimate bowing to public pressure, although it would be something I would feel like would be more appropriate. But, I don't know if you want to start going down the road of, like, re-punishing people.
Do you think they'll strip the title or it'll just what it is what it is right now?
You know, I so rarely get what I want from sports, and maybe that is just a DC attitude to have that since I think it's the right thing to do. I don't expect it to happen. Again, it would be a re-punishment. It'd be a bit of double jeopardy there. So, no, I don't think it's going to happen, but it's something that I think should have happened from the very beginning. And the only way I can explain that away from not happening is if they – feel like it's something that was widespread enough that the idea that the Astros won was not enough to distinguish them from, such a harsh punishment with people that haven't been caught that aren't punished at all, but who are knowingly engaging in the same activity.
Right. Yeah, I completely agree.
All right, Steph, I appreciate you, man. Call back anytime.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks, Steph. I'm going to go to my man, Randolph Sturdivant, host of the DC Draft House Comedy Show every Saturday night at 10:45. What's good, man? You ran off you there? Hey, man, he preparing for the comedy show. He got a lot going on. What about my man Max from DC? Max, what's good, man? Yeah, Reese, I wanted to ask you. Okay, we having some trouble with the phones right now. I would have tried to pretend to be Max from D.C., but I got off to a bad start. Plus, I got to do a whole another hour and a half, and I don't want to exhaust my voice so quickly. I think we got Randolph. Randolph, what's going on, man?
Are we on the line now?
We are live right now. Anything you say can be career-ending.
And be used against me in a court of law.
That's right.
Man. Oh, I was liking that Murphy Lee I was playing earlier. Well, I was going with that.
Have you seen Murphy Lee?
So. I'm from the South, man. Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, what's wrong with him now?
Ain't nobody seen Murphy Lee since 2013.
I mean, it's been a minute, but we all have memories.
That's funny. It's funny.
We all have memories. What happened to the brother who had the Phantom of the Opera mask, though? Where's he at now?
They had a Phantom of the Opera dude?
You don't remember him?
And Sean shaking his head. I'm like, no, I don't remember that.
Yeah, he was in the crew. He had a Phantom of the Opera mask.
Was that Was that K-1? Was that Ali?
I don't think he had a name. I think he was just up there.
Oh, he was a plus one.
He was a plus one. And he wore that mask to stand out.
Okay. Which is smart. We're talking about him right now.
Exactly. We don't know his name, but we are talking about him.
Only he was able to monetize that.
Talk about the Astros. You don't think they should be stripped?
No. I think they should have been stripped. But I don't think they will be stripped.
It's too late now.
I feel like the idea, this is the thing. I feel like they got off far too lightly. However, I don't want to start getting into a world of like repunishment because of public pressure. Because that could cause a lot of problems.
Yeah, I get that. They should have been stripped immediately.
Yes.
They should have been stripped immediately. Their little half apologies today. I mean, that right there tells you that you should have stripped them little half apologies.
Yep.
But, you know, listen, baseball is a game of cheaters. If you like to cheat, baseball is the game for you. So I mean, it's more complex now, but they're never going to put their foot down. Gaylord Perry's in the Baseball Hall of Fame. He spent his whole career cheating.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that sign stealing, where do you think that ranks with gambling, PDs, other things that they've come down harshly on?
Sign stealing, old school, standing on second base, looking in at the signs that the catcher's throwing, that's part of the game. Okay, that's been part of the game for years. Pitchers sometimes tip that they're going to throw a pitch, and if you're paying attention, then you'll tell the other people in the dugout. So that's been happening for years. This bringing in technology and ramping the technology up higher and higher and higher and giving yourselves an advantage over the other team where the other team can't use the same technology. But like both teams can steal signs at the same time. But one team has a distinct advantage in their own stadium. You're completely changing the integrity of the game doing that. Once the game is completely changed, that's it. You're no longer playing a sport. You know, I mean, you're not competing. I'm not using my skills to stop your skills. I'm using my skills plus. And that's not right.
I guess I struggle with I have heard that idea that the guy on second looking in on the catcher is part of the game. That's acceptable. See, I struggle with that because I'm like, well, why, if that's okay, then why is this so much worse than that? And believe me, I think this is bad, but I mean, I'm not so okay with that either.
There's something okay. Now that's an honest thing to say. Just we don't want any sign stealing at all. That's an honest thing to say. There's just something about the addition of technology that only you get to use in your stadium that just seems extra nefarious. Only you get to use it in your stadium. You know, that just seems so much extra nefarious.
And if you look at their home road splits, they were much better at home, especially in the Yankee series.
Far better at home, and that's how you know. They're far better at home. You know, and they have a whole system devised. The whole team is in on it, so you got to punish the whole team. You know, if anything, the guy that devised it, they actually bumped him up, from what I understand, if I have the reporting wrong on that. You know, they fired the managers. But the guy who was above them, the analytics guy who kind of came up with all this, he's still there.
Interesting. I mean, I just love how Jim Crane blamed the management, but not me, though.
Yeah.
You know, we have some organizational issues underneath me and before the players. It's really
me, but not me.
The middle of the sandwich is bad.
You stand up and you say, well, yeah, we cheated, but it didn't help. Well, then what'd you do it for then?
Right.
if it didn't help. Of course it helped.
Yeah,
Of course it helps. Everybody in the majors can hit. Everybody, even the guy batting 185 can hit. Everybody can hit. If you know the pitch is coming to you, you're hitting it out. It's not even a question.
It was my master plan.
Where does that rank as far as gambling? You got one hard, fast rule in baseball. You can't gamble on baseball. It's in every clubhouse. So if you break that rule, you suffer the consequences as far as I'm concerned. Everybody knows. It's the one rule that's in stone.
What does that mean? You have to walk around. You have to walk around with Pete Rose's haircut.
I mean, yeah, that would be that would be sufficient. I think.
Is that why
you do that to somebody? That would be sufficient.
Oh man.
PEDs is another one. I don't know if I particularly care about PEDs because again, if a guy like Gaylord Perry's in your Hall of Fame, you know. Pitchers throw the spitball. I mean, if you get caught, you get caught. But
as I mentioned earlier, I just find it ironic that in this case they punish management and not the players, but PED they punish the players and not the management. And everybody
right.
knew about because, both.
Well, yeah, everybody knew about both. Don't forget that the management provided amphetamines to players for years. You know, and that's a performance enhancing. That's a performance enhancing drug. They just let it kind of go to the wayside until guys started getting real big. Then it was a problem. Like, well, look at the size of his head, you know, and he's hitting the ball out. But that hitting the ball out drew the eyes back to baseball. So everybody let it go.
Yeah.
You know.
Very good point. Hey, Randall, I appreciate you, man. I'm going to come through this weekend.
Hey, man, we're there. Come on through Saturday.
All right, most definitely, man. I'll catch you.
Saturday night, 10:30.
Catch you over at DC Draft House. I'm going to be there with a big head and a Pete Rose haircut.
Big head, Pete Rose haircut, and a fast bat.
Hey, all the time.
In that order.
All the time. I swing
right,
a big stick. Thanks a lot, Randolph. All right, we got a.
All right, thank you.
A couple of more of you guys on the line. I see you, Max. I see you, Ray. We'll be back right after this. I'm coming right to you. 800-636-1067. Reese Waters on the Fan. My personal favorite. Girl, you look so good. I wish I could plant you and grow a whole field of y'all. There it is. Delivered just like the Fresh Prince used to. All right, you guys have been weighing in on the Houston Astros, and we're going to keep this party going. I'm going to go right to my man, Max from D.C. Max, what's good, man?
Hey, Reese, thank you for taking my call, man. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. So where do you come out on all this?
So it's tough because, like, I'm a Nationals fan, so nothing is making me happier than seeing them squirm through all this. But I do have a kind of different perspective on what it means to not punish any of the players directly. Now, I'm going to preface this by saying I'm not a fan of beanball. I don't particularly like when players kind of take matters into their own hands and kind of go after each other. It's entertaining as hell, but, you know, I think we've just seen it get a little out of control lately. But I think that when Manfred didn't come down on any players, that kind of – it kind of sent a message to the rest of the league in a sport that is already so self-policed, in a sport that is so about the unwritten rules that, you know, a lot of these players think that they are going to have to take matters into their own hands. And especially some of the teams that will feel and have felt most affected by what the Astros did. And I'm thinking of the Dodgers especially, because I know a lot of players in that clubhouse are circling those dates on the schedule when they're going to have to face Houston, thinking, you know, if anything's going to happen, it's going to happen here. These guys haven't had to face the music. Well, they're probably going to. And I don't think it's good for the sport. I don't think any good is going to come from it. And, like I said, I think it's just a different perspective. And what are your thoughts on that?
That's interesting. I mean, I can't put it past this weird code of Major League Baseball because they do weird stuff, especially when it comes to this whole idea of beanball and the fact that that's, you know, we're watching one sport where they're trying to cut down on concussions and eliminating plays from the game, and a whole other sport is enabling people to throw balls at people's heads that are hard and very fast. So it's a bit of a weird disconnect in that regard. But you would have to give the other players and the umpires so much coverage in order for that to be self-policed. Because, I mean, how do you rectify something that drastic. I mean, you guys get thrown at for sliding too hard or for running too slow on a home run. I mean, how do you equal the playing field for an entire World Series that this whole scheme took them to? I don't know what amount of beanballs would equal that.
Well, the answer is probably too much, and that's probably why these players should have felt some kind of discipline directly from the league. I mean, you heard a lot of the players talking today as camp is opening about, you know, well, let's just see what happens, or, you know, they didn't apologize enough, or they didn't feel like there was enough sincerity there. So, you know, we know so much about this sport that they like to take matters into their own hands, and you don't want to see anyone hurt by it, but I feel like it's going to get ugly. We're going to see a lot of high and tight. We're going to see some guys getting hurt. We're going to see benches clearing, and I just hope that Manfred is prepared to face these questions.
All right, fair enough, Max. I appreciate that. Hey, Ray, you've been waiting a long time, man. What's going on? What are your thoughts on all this?
Well, you said earlier that you didn't believe in, I guess, repunishing teams, so you might not be down with this idea. But, you know, the owner today said that knowing, you know, the pitch coming wasn't going to make, you know, a difference, or didn't make a difference. So if I accept that, I'll accept that argument if going forward, not only this season, but for every season that the Astros exist, either in Houston or if they try to relocate to some other city, that the pitcher, whether it's a starting pitcher, relief pitcher, he has to let the batter know what the pitch is coming. So, obviously, that would be a huge advantage for the, you know, the batter. And if by chance, like, we let the umpire decide, like, let's say he throws a pitch that was the wrong pitch that he said he was going to throw or indicated that he's going to throw, then it's an automatic walk, you know, for the batter, no matter, say, what the count. So if that was the case, obviously, that's going to be a huge advantage to the batters. The Astros would have certainly losing seasons, if not horrible seasons. So then fans aren't going to show up because they're going to be losing all the time. And then if the owner really truly feels that way, then we can let him put this, you know, his money where his mouth is.
Interesting. Hey, you know what? I am for them. That whole idea of repunishment, I was just saying, would be the ultimate bowing to public pressure. And I don't feel like, you know, I feel like once someone is punished, I don't feel like they should always be under the gun for being repunished for the same thing. That's why we have our double jeopardy in our legal system. So that was the only reason why I was making that comment. But I'm all for them being creative in all the ways in which they try and punish the Astros. I just don't know if you can do anything at this particular point. And for whatever Rob Manfred's motivation might have been to have not gone as hard as we, most of us at least, feel like he should have, it seems to have backfired because this is not exiting the news cycle anytime soon. I don't know if that'll happen once games start being played. It's quite possible, or it could actually get worse because we're having to see these guys on a daily basis, especially if the Astros either get out to a great start or get out to a lackluster start and give people something to point to and say, this is what they actually would have looked like. I think if they're somewhere in the middle, that would actually be a best case scenario for Major League Baseball and all those involved with the team. But I appreciate your thoughts, Ray.
Yeah.
We will be back talking a little Alexander Ovechkin and his striving for his 700 goals. I am really excited for this game this evening. So we're going to talk to my man Chris Russell right after the break.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.